Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, August 4th, 2017. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it's Casual Friday. Of what could have been so far the most effed up week, 8 days of the Trump administration. Cliff Schechter will be here to help us make sense of it all. And then to digest it, Matthew Film Guy will be here to help us digest it. Also on the program today, Mueller convenes a grand jury. And Democrats just lost another governorship. Meanwhile, Secret Service needs to up its money laundering game if it wants to stay in Trump Tower. And Bibi, a suspect in fraud, in a fraud investigation, or what we call a fake news investigation.
It was fake fraud because the Labour Party, they hate. They are filled with unfairness and hate. Totally unfair.
And Michael Flynn files yet another amended disclosure, this time raising the specter of the Mercers.
Dead!
All this and more on today's program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am actually at a undisclosed location at the moment in anticipation of my daughter. And this is going to freak out a lot of long-time listeners of the program. Mila is turning 12 this week. And so we're having our annual sleepover with, 15, well, I think it's, half a dozen of her friends. And so I am already half in the bag because I need to anesthetize myself because it's a... it's
very good parenting, crazy. Sam.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
No, well, the point is you preload before any of the kids get here. So
right.
They just think, Mila's dad is so weird.
So you don't have to emotionally deal with your own children or her friends. You get intoxicated.
Oh,
yes, very good. This is good parenting.
If the number of infections that you've gotten actually don't prevent you from having children in the future.
wow.
You're going to, Jesus. Really, really eat your words. But,
really, really went in on that one.
Well,
he wasn't joking about half in the bag.
Yeah, it was not.
folks, I should also warn you that if you're listening to the program, we may end up doing this in the fun half. We may end up doing it in the just the regular half. I don't want to say the non-fun half, but the not-as-fun half. If you do have children and they do listen to this, know that today we'll be playing the Scaramucci audio. So you may want to, we will give you ample warning, but it is not safe for work.
Has your daughter
unless, of course, you're working in the White House.
Yeah.
And apparently it's perfectly safe for there, at least for a couple of days before you get rolled out.
Have you ever Mila ever called you a fucking paranoiac?
I mean, not actually, just you need another adjective before the fucking paranoiac. But so not... Last night, Donald Trump, of course, was in West Virginia and giving a rousing and disturbing speech. I mean, this week, I mean, we're going to get to Cliff in just a moment, but this week has been, you know, in my estimation, and the weeks are running together now. I don't remember when was the Boy Scout speech? That was last week, right? Or was that
2 weeks
week?
Ago?
No. Really?
That
was it?
At least, I think
the
it was.
The past couple of weeks.
And sometimes, I don't know. It's like everything is a blur.
It's getting a little bit, it's starting to run together.
It was last week.
It was last week. But towards the end of last week. And then there was all three speeches last week, right? And this was just sort of the revenge of the white supremacists this week. The full-on bigotry and hate project that the Trump administration is pursuing. But he is going to have problems in the Senate. I mean, we're going to get to this with Cliff, but there are two separate bipartisan bills. And it's sort of funny that I guess Lindsey Graham and Cory Booker were trying to lay low with their bill to prevent Robert Mueller, or I should say amend the mechanism in which Robert Mueller could be fired. And they got beat to the punch by Coons and Tillis to introduce their proposal. Apparently, so there's these two competing proposals, and they have said that they will merge them when they return from recess. Also know that during their recess, Republicans will be performing the same kabuki theater that they did during the Obama administration, which prevented Merrick Garland from getting a recess appointment. It was also basically comes from that ruling involving the National Labor Relations Board appointees that Obama had appointed maybe back in 2010 or 11. But they will be maintaining a series of basically shell motions so that in the event Donald Trump fires Jeff Sessions from his position as Attorney General, he will be prevented from putting a new head of the Department of Justice in his place. Now, it's unclear to me why there wouldn't be an acting head of the Department of Justice, an acting Attorney General, whose authority would supersede the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, who would not necessarily have to recuse themselves from the Russia investigation. But it is also possible, and now that I say this, that maybe the succession is such that Rod Rosenstein would become the acting attorney general automatically. I don't know about that, but somebody will IM later in the program and correct me on that, I hope. But that's basically where we are. I mean, we've talked a lot about what's going on from a policy standpoint this week, and we're going to hear a little more about the grand jury. Also, the implications of the Democrats losing another governorship, and to the extent that the Democrats have not really paid attention, it seems to me, to the governorships that are coming up for re-election in 2018.
Hillary won the popular vote. Sexist.
Are you saying that's... Did you have a problem on Twitter last night, Michael?
I was not on Twitter last night, but I could imagine the response to even saying that among certain members of the Democratic coalition right now. Lost another governor. Well, yeah, I hope you enjoy that male privilege of yours. Hillary won the popular vote.
There's been a couple of there was this. Did I mention this the other day? That Neera Tanden tweet about Kamala Harris, and still has got stuck in my craw quite a bit. And apparently, that's that whole talking point is still going around.
People are reacting very strongly against a Ryan Cooper article on the topic now.
And Ryan Cooper's article could not be sort of more measured and basic. But who's the guy from Maryland, the guy who's actually announced that he's running for president? The congressman, you know what I'm talking about? Henley? Is that his name?
I mean, he's sort of a blue dog.
He's now sort of posing as a
as a progressive.
But he supported Fast Track for TPP. And my point is like, yeah, his feet aren't being held to the fire because he's like utterly irrelevant. Like in some ways, you could say the fact that Harris, Patrick, and Booker are getting their records are getting scrutinized is like actually great progress because they're going to be three very important candidates if they run. Like,
yes,
you know, the reason Henley's also not, and they're all corporatists, and the reason Henley isn't getting, you know, put under scrutiny as a corporatist because nobody cares. He's utterly irrelevant.
It's the same reason why Martin O'Malley did not garner a lot of attention from progressives, because nobody perceived him as being a potential threat for the nomination.
Actually, every time I criticized Hillary, I also took the time to criticize Martin O'Malley as well.
Right.
Well, you're very studious, Matt. You're very good that way. But did you take time to also criticize, I can't even remember his name now, Lincoln Chafee? No, I remember you didn't, because you didn't have enough room in your tweets.
I was in the bag for Chafee.
Chafee was actually a pretty good, you know, I wish Chafee was able to not to do something other than embarrass himself, because he actually had some good points to make. That's
yes,
kind of
but
depressing.
I think the fact that he embarrassed himself suggested that maybe he didn't have some good points to make. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Cliff Schechter.
Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I'll lift my shirt up. Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt up. I was carried to Ohio in a swarm of bees. I never married, but Ohio don't remember. My head on the hood of your car, I take it too far. Lay my head on the hood of your car, I take it too far. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. I never thought about love when I thought about home. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. The floors are falling out from everybody I know. I'm on a blood buzz. Yes, I am. I'm on a blood buzz. I'm on a blood buzz. God, I am.
All right, we are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. On the phone, ladies and gentlemen, is a person who is so prominent on this program that it inspired this tune, which we listen to religiously every Friday.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Yes, it's Cliff Schechter. Cliff, could you hear your theme song?
I could.
Oh, good, good.
It sounded as wonderfully sexy as it always does.
Oh, indeed. Cliff, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
There is, of course, a It's a big day for the Trump administration. We've got another. You guys in New York, you got to keep it down because I can hear you. I don't know. This week is.
Wasn't much that went on the last week, was there?
Honestly, it is. It is crazy. It is. I mean, I was trying to go over this week, and the amount of activity. Really across the board. I mean, the only thing that seemed to be quiet was sort of vaguely on the legislative front, but not, you know, it's mostly stuff that's happening behind closed doors. You know, there's a real question as to whether or not the Democrats are going to bleed a couple of members in tax reform. And certainly,
right.
Paul Ryan seems to think tax reform is going to be somewhat easier. But I think part of that is because it's got to be less ambitious now because they don't necessarily have the
money to devote to it.
To devote to it because they weren't able to cut back on Medicaid, in the Affordable Care Act. Now, they still
right.
may be
Even
able
though
to.
Even though Ron Paul wants to go after Social Security, that's not going to happen. That's a non-starter. And none of them are going to touch defense. So where do you find that nice big pile of money you give back to rich people?
Yeah, I think this is we're going to see probably more likely some type of like large scale foreign repatriation of money or, you know, maybe a sort of somewhat similar to 86 where you see they will pass tax cuts and offset those so that there's no impact on the deficit with loopholes and whatnot. And then 6 months from now, they reverse the loopholes.
That's pretty much the way it goes, yeah. it'll be interesting. I mean, there's no doubt in the past they've been very successful at dividing Democrats on the issue of taxes. It's much easier to demagogue than something as complicated as healthcare, particularly when you didn't know it was going to be all that complicated because nobody could have known. I joke, of course, but I mean, taxes, it's you know, Republicans have been successful demagoguing on that issue for a long time now. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out because all those red state Democrats who stood firm when it came to Obamacare may not stand as firm on taxes.
Well, we know.
Again, as you point out, there's not as much to give, but
we know that Donnelly, Heitkamp, and Manchin refused to sign on to that letter that the Democrats sent to McConnell saying, we'll join you if it's deficit neutral taxes, if it's not done by reconciliation, and you will not give tax breaks for millionaires, which is, you know, it's pretty stunning that, you know, anybody would cop to not wanting to sign that letter. But it was probably, you know, I don't know. I have not seen Heitkamp or Donnelly or Manchin ask. Go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Just because I'm wondering. So McCaskill and Tester signed?
They did.
Interesting. Okay. So they've got three. I mean, again, that's enough, but it's still interesting to me that that McCaskill actually stands firm on these kinds of things, I think, more sometimes than people give her credit for. Tester's been interesting back and forth. He's got a populist streak, but you know, he's not always been there. So that's interesting. Okay.
All right. So with that said, let's talk just a little bit about what happened in West Virginia last night. Donald Trump went down there for the second time in 2 weeks, right? I mean, because the first time that's where he gave his really impressive Boy Scout speech, where he discussed the finer points of an orgy with the Boy Scout troops,
with 9-year-olds,
and then ended up getting
to learn these things,
and then ended up getting caught in a jam when he lied about what the Boy Scouts did, and his credibility had to go up against the Boy Scouts. I mean, literally, it's like...
Right. Well, I mean, there's an expression for that, right? This guy's a Boy Scout or not a Boy Scout. So generally, when you go up against them and they say you're lying and you say that you're not lying, most people are going to go with them even if you haven't been caught being a pathological liar for them forever. Also important to note, Sam, that what happened that night was Anthony Scaramucci's son was born, but he more importantly needed to be at the Jamboree speech than where his son was being born. So that was an important note that night too.
Well, yes, indeed. And we should say, yeah, when it's almost like a cartoon, right? I mean, it literally is almost a cartoon. Like, who are you going to believe? The head of the Boy Scouts or Donald Trump? And
that's right.
And so he returned to West Virginia last night, and which is probably the state where he's the most popular in the country. Maybe North Dakota comes in second. I'm not sure. But he's got he's over 50% approval rating in West Virginia.
Or Oklahoma. There's a few other very rural states. But, yeah, I mean, he cleans up. I mean, West Virginia, I think it was a plus 40 differential originally.
Yes.
What he won by. And so it's, you know, if there's anywhere that... I mean, and again, what I think you're getting towards, right, is the switching of the, I will put it in quotes, Democratic governor to Republican, even though this guy refused, Jim Justice is his name, refused to endorse Hillary Clinton as the nominee, and probably would have refused to endorse any Democratic nominee, and is a, you know, ran as a conservative Democrat, and most importantly was a Republican as recently as 2 years ago.
Yes.
And a coal mining executive. You know, coal mining executives in states that Donald Trump won by 40 points are known for hating Donald Trump.
Well, he also happens to be a good friend of Donald Trump's son. He was in the limo with Donald Trump when he went to the Boy Scouts. Here is Governor Jim Justice of West Virginia in a speech saying he's switching to the Republican Party. And listen to how he articulates this. You guys ready to play this?
This man is a really dear friend of mine. But you know what else is unbelievable? This man now has a chief of staff that all of us can pronounce his first name.
Okay.
He didn't like Reince Priebus, I guess, and he likes,
I guess not,
John Kelly. But I'm not sure exactly what the point he's trying to make there, other than Reince.
I'm not really sure either.
Priebus, but
is Reince, is that supposed to be implying that Reince Priebus isn't a real American, maybe an immigrant or something like that?
You know, it could have been worse. He could have said, "At least now we have a white president," and I,
and then he would have said what he really meant. When he switched parties.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't think that it's likely to happen now, and it's. But, you know, Joe Manchin, it strikes me, in maybe a different era with a different president, might have been a guy who switched parties, right? I mean, he's up for a tough re-election. You know, we saw Arlen Specter do this in Pennsylvania to become a Democrat.
And you pointed out Heitkamp before, being from North Dakota, that would potentially be a possibility too.
But
although Manchin's closer because, you know, Heitkamp is really only at very bad on one or two issues, whereas Manchin is, you know, falls in on choice and, you know, a number of things. Has he ever come around to marriage equality? I still think he may be the only Democratic senator who hasn't come out for marriage equality. So you're right. Manchin would definitely be the most, where he's from and his position, the biggest suspect.
I've also heard, you know, there was a time, remember, Manchin was one of those guys who was invited to the White House. And so there was some question as to whether he would be a guy who would be appointed to a cabinet secretary position.
Right.
And I've heard some theorize that now that the governor is Republican, and would presumably appoint another Republican, that Manchin might be less inclined to do that. I'm not sure I fully understand that at this point. If you're gonna
that would imply that Manchin cares about such things.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if he does or not. I suspect he doesn't.
But
maybe I'm wrong.
But if that's the case, then, you know, the idea of him being appointed to a cabinet secretary position, right? I mean, I don't know. Let's say they move Rick Perry over from a Department of Homeland, you know, to Department of Homeland Security, and Energy Secretary opens up. I don't know. Joe Manchin may go in there thinking that it would be just him meeting with oil executives. And
that's true. Or why couldn't they just put Manchin at Homeland Security?
Right.
I mean,
or
if you wanted to do it, the truth of the matter is that it's not like there, you need to be qualified in the Trump administration to be appointed to any particular position. I mean, Ben Carson would be sort of an example of that, as would Rick Perry and others. So, you know, I don't know that you could appoint him to DHS, I think, relatively easily.
Or wherever the spot is. I mean, contemplate this for a moment, right? We know that John McCain is going to be tied up in Arizona dealing with his brain cancer. And if Joe Manchin was to flip or to leave the Senate, and effectively flipping, because now you have a Republican governor there. I mean, let me just contemplate, like, you know, why this governor did this. I mean, he won his margin, I think, by a greater amount than even Trump did. So he's not doing this for electoral reasons. He apparently owes a lot of back taxes, but he's quite wealthy. I mean,
he had to make sure to get his party right then.
I mean,
and he's the only billionaire in West Virginia. He may have been feeling increasingly uncomfortable to be a Democrat. Not to mention, by the way, you ask other reasons, not to jump into the realm of conspiracy, dun-dun-dun, but the dude did sell his, and this isn't conspiracy, this is fact, it's what you believe about it. He did sell his mines to the Russians a couple of years ago for $600 million, and then as the price of coal went down and coal became less valuable, bought them back for $5 million. That seems a little sketchy.
Well, I mean, all that may be the case, man,
but that's a pretty big differential there.
And so, but the point being, like, you know, if he's in a position to appoint a new senator, there's a whole, you know, and one who would obviously be more inclined to vote with Mitch McConnell, it could be a problem. So it's just something to keep an eye on. And
it's
then
to pay attention to. Here, the one caveat I'd say to that is, you know, Manchin, one thing I would say about him is he's always seemed to be, I don't agree with him on many things, but he's always seemed to be a relatively smart guy, I think. And you've now got Secretary of Commerce, you know, others lawyering up because they're tied to this administration. So it's not just switching from, you know, Justice can switch because it's easy. He's a governor. He's not in Washington. He is in West Virginia. If you're in Washington and you join this guy's cabinet, you know this guy, even though he offers no loyalty to you, asks for 100% loyalty. And it's pretty inevitable you'll be lying for him at some point in time and about what you don't know yet. And that could be the one thing, whereas if this was George W. Bush or any different Republican who at least had a shred of honesty to them and wasn't being investigated on about four different levels for various crimes, you know, someone like Manchin might be more willing to do it. Is he willing to jump into that situation? I don't know. It'd be interesting. It's interesting to see. I don't know how anybody could want to join this cabinet at this point, but clearly there are some people still willing to do it. So,
yeah, fair enough. I mean, so it's just something for people to keep an eye on. The other implications of this is that Justice is now the 34th Republican governor. Republicans control both the governor's mansion and the legislatures in 26 states. Democrats have total control in, are you ready for this, folks? Just 6 states.
Pathetic.
Now, in 2018, there are Republicans are defending 27 of 38 seats, and many are in blue or purple states. But I get the sense that the recruiting for governors for Democrats, and I haven't read too much about this, but is not looking very good. And this is, you know, I mean, supposedly there's like $10 million behind this effort to deal with redistricting, but if you don't have the governorship in these states, you're going to have a real problem. I mean, obviously, you need the state houses as well. But
it's true. Governor has a lot of power. I mean, in a lot of states, the example being the one that I'm sitting in, the governor has as much power as the entire, when it comes to redistricting, as the entire body, you know, either the state house or state senate, you know, as an individual, right? So, I mean, there's, you know, and they've got a much bigger microphone. So there's a lot of power there, and you're right. I mean, I you know, there must be some stories out there that I'm missing, but, you know, I haven't heard of a lot of, like, sort of star recruits. You know what I mean?
It's a little disturbing, but that's, you know, maybe hopefully this will be a little bit of a wake-up call. I'm not sure to whom, but maybe to the Democratic Governors Association, if there's anybody in that association at this point. All right, well, let's turn our attention to the other big latest news, right? I mean, this has been a really insane week in terms of personnel, but also
even by Trump standards.
Yeah, even by Trump standards. I mean, there's obviously this, you know, huge turn towards white nationalism, of which the speech last night was sort of the coup de grace of the week. But last night it was reported, I guess it was in the Wall Street Journal and then followed up in the Washington Post, that Mueller has constituted a grand jury and had done so. I mean, apparently it's been around for like several weeks, and it is in Washington, D.C., as opposed to the pre-existing one that was set up before he came on as special counsel in Virginia. And there's a lot of speculation as to why he would use a second one. Some people suggest that maybe it's just convenience. They're based out of Washington, D.C., so you want something close. It's like across the street or around the corner. Another reason is that the likelihood of finding people in a grand jury in Washington, D.C. versus Virginia that are going to be willing to indict members of the former Trump campaign or the current Trump administration are greater. But this is pretty serious news. And also in terms of like what it does in terms of like protecting Mueller's job.
Yeah. Oh, are you there?
Yeah, you there? Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you for a second. Can you repeat the last sentence?
Well, also in terms of protecting Mueller's job, right? I mean, there's an existing grand jury now. It looks even worse if Trump fires him.
It does. And you've even got right now bipartisan groups of senators. So clearly all these senators realize the truth, or many of them do, about Trump and detest him. They're just cowards, right? But now you've got bipartisan groups who are working on bills to pass the aim at stopping and making the judges, making the courts have the final say on whether Trump could fire Mueller or not. So you clearly have Republicans jumping on board, which I find interesting. I think it gets more difficult all the time for him to do it. It's not to say he can't, but they're making it tougher. There's also bipartisan groups that, you know, working on trying to make sure that the Senate stays in session. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's basically up to the Republicans, and it appears that the Republicans are going to do that. Now, that's not as shocking to me, because I think Jeff Sessions has a lot of friends in the Senate, Republicans. Right. Was it Grassley who said that the Judiciary Committee doesn't have the time to deal with replacing an attorney general? He said, we're doing, I can't remember the quote, and this maybe, I guess, from a week and a half ago. He said, we're just going to we've got our schedule already. We're doing judges. We're doing head of the FBI.
Right.
We don't have time to do an AG, which was his way of signaling like, if you fire him, you're not going to get a new AG for a while.
Yep, that's kind of what they were saying, and so that's the other thing, is they're thinking that, you know, during recess he could push out Sessions and bring in somebody new without a vote for a year, and so that may be the biggest reason, is that these guys are loyal on the Republican side, are loyal to Sessions. You know, it's weird when you find yourself the beliefs that we have. And yet I feel like, at least on this whole thing, I have to root for Sessions, because the more, you know, the more people that Trump fights with that are in power, it means that there's more checks on power. You know what I mean?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. I mean, I think the damage, right? I think that if Trump was to try and fire Mueller, that Mueller at this point has probably figured out other avenues in which this thing could continue. In addition, of course, to these bills that the Senate are pushing at this point. But I mean, you think about it just like what Jeff Sessions has been doing this week, in terms of
affirmative action,
gay people's right to not be discriminated in terms of work, and of course his ongoing project to disenfranchise voters and immigration.
And medicinal marijuana.
They were talking about getting more funding for, or making sure that the funding for the Department of Justice, there was funding there for them to interfere with states that have legalized marijuana. I mean, Jeff Sessions to me is about as bad of an attorney general, which I think is, you know, one of the more important positions in our government, frankly, that you can get. And so, I would be happy to see him gone, and but he has.
I mean, it's a tough one for those reasons. I kind of agree with you, and then at the same time, if you get someone, well, I don't know. You have to think out the thought experiment, because if you get somebody in there, even who will do whatever he wants, and you know, the main basis is firing Mueller, that still could kick up quite a storm at this point. So, you know, maybe that's correct, Sam. I don't know.
I mean, who is...
You brought me back to reminding me why I hate...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, where are you going to find somebody who is as racist and bigoted and creative about it as Jeff Sessions? I mean, I guess maybe you don't need that much creativity, but he's certainly aggressive, and he certainly knows, like, look, this is what... I mean, you know, all we're seeing now is just a huge sop to the right. We're seeing it from Sessions, you know, heading down to El Salvador and talking about, MS-13. And of course, and then Trump follows up with his own MS-13 speech. This is an El Salvadoran gang. And, you know, Trump's in West Virginia talking about how we saved Long Island from MS-13. I mean, I don't know if you saw that speech, but it was insane, like a lot of it. But
yeah,
we're seeing just an incredible lurch to the white nationalists. And obviously, look, they've been there. It's just that they made it, you know, they're really screaming from the mountaintop. So some of it's performative and some of it is actually, you know, going to have an impact. And I don't know, anything that cuts into that, it's a tough call.
I gotcha. Yeah. Especially when you've got Gorka and others wandering around there, you know, who are, you know, I mean, have almost been openly white nationalist. I think they have Bannon and the rest of them. It's true.
And what do you make of what's
just
going
reminds
on?
Me, it's hard to know ever who to root for in this administration.
You've yes.
got various groups of terrible people all competing with each other to do various terrible things.
Well,
incredible.
That's the thing is that it has been sort of exhausting is you get these leaks, right? And you really don't know what to make of it or why you're hearing from it. Like, for instance, earlier this week in some of the reporting about Kelly, it came out that he and Mattis had made a pact that both of them cannot be out of the country at the same time.
I think it's called the babysitting pact.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit concerning, like when you're wondering, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, when you start to contemplate what that really means, it gets a little bit scary. It means to me that they realize this guy is insane, and
right. Well, when you and you start paying attention, it's even beyond just sort of realizing he's insane, but looking at what some of the world's hot spots, and realizing that if they both were away, he might be able to find a way to do some serious damage. And I'm not even talking about just necessarily a nuclear war, which sort of everybody thinks of first, but just almost exacerbating situations, you know, whether it's Pakistan and India, right, or India and China, or, you know, North Korea, or, I mean, various spots in the Middle East, that they're just, there's plenty of places where things he says and he does could actually lead to further violence and many people dying. You know, it's incredible that they don't think they can actually be away.
Well, and then also you're in a caught in this position of like, boy, I hope the generals stop him. I mean, that's not something that you, you know, you want to be saying in a democracy, right? I mean, the
no,
and it's
and yet we found ourselves. I mean, from the beginning, I thought those were the two most qualified members of the administration that he put in. Were those two to do, you know, to do what he wanted them to do, who had any experience, and you know, and yet
two most
I don't like it because
right.
Right. And it doesn't mean that I want them in there. I don't like having generals in positions like that. At the same time, you know, when you all like everything else in life, it depends who you're comparing them to. It's sort of like some of the members of the intelligence community. I tend to like checks on that power too.
Yeah,
but they've almost seen more competent than and less you know, corrupt and white nationalisty than the people he's putting in other places. And so it's almost like we're relying on the people that we're usually most suspicious of in a democracy. It's a strange situation.
Personally, I would have liked to see Scaramucci hang in there for longer than you know, as opposed to Kelly, myself. I mean, for not just the obvious reasons, but also for, you know, I think it's the more incompetence that we can lard up in those situations, the better, I guess. Although then, you know, you're faced with like, hey, what if we actually do have a crisis that is not of Trump's making or that is prevented? It's really
I do have to say, yeah, it's again, we're back to the what we were talking about with Sessions, right? Where you're sitting there, you're like, what's better? You know, I mean, pick your poison. In that way, I do have to say, when it comes to a foreign policy crisis, I like having Kelly closer. I do. And I don't think it's going to stop much of the incompetence. He's still tweeting out stupid things since Kelly's been there. He's still saying stupid things and giving ridiculously stupid speeches. You know, I mean, it may cut down on sort of some of the ridiculousness of anybody being able to meet with him at any time. And you know, they may fix his schedule to a certain degree. But I still feel like he still has no discipline when it comes to, you know, what he says and who he says it to. And I don't think that's going to change. I don't think Kelly can do anything about that. Maybe he can rein in some actions. And again, around foreign policy, that might be good.
All right. Well, let me get back to that.
It's just a theory.
Yeah, no, that, fair enough. I mean, I honestly don't even know if I can. I feel like I can at this point have the mental faculties to sort of even, you know, formulate an opinion on one side or the other. I'm concerned about it. But then, you know, my initial point was too, which I think I didn't even get to, was I'm concerned that I know there was that deal. Like that deal, right, is, you know, you would imagine would be Mattis and Kelly on the phone saying, hey, man, this guy's nuts. Yeah, he seems like he could be. Maybe we should agree to not both be out of the country at the same time. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah, me neither. I'm just laughing because no. I don't want to cry. But so assume it's those two, right? And their attaches, yep. Their most trusted advisors. Why do we know this? Like, why am I able to read this in reporting? Like, what
well,
is the
clearly,
agenda?
Somebody felt it was important that
yeah.
we know this.
Yes. Well, one of those two principles.
Well, and again, that can be for a variety of reasons because leaks serve different functions. It could be altruistic, and you know, kind of, if you believe that about some of the phone conversations that Trump had with the leaders of Mexico and Australia, too. Which is somebody believes we need to know how utterly incompetent our leader is. I think we kind of know that already, but how dangerously incompetent he is that these guys agreed about what needs to be done and that one of them needs to be in the country. But it also could be just somebody who was taking a shot at Trump or who was angry at him and taking a shot at him when Reince was still there,
yeah.
taking a shot at him and trying to undermine the current structure. Such that it is, and maybe that helps Kelly get into the position he gets into. I mean, there's different, you know, you have to think about who benefits.
Yeah.
And it
well,
may not always be for the altruistic reasons.
Yeah. The former explanation, like, hey, these principals want us to know how insane he is without him, them coming out and saying, like, I'm serving an insane person. Or maybe, yeah, maybe it's Kelly, you know, trying to defend his honor. You know, a lot of my old friends are asking, why would I do this? Well, I'm doing it because he's crazy. And right. Mattis and I have a deal to babysit him. I mean, that could be it, too.
They're both serving, you know, for a reason, that this is actual government service to prevent disaster.
And
sacrifice.
And the thing is, though, if you take that to heart, then you're in that weird position again of going like, boy, I hope Kelly doesn't get fired, because that would mean bad things. Yeah,
right. So it definitely helps Kelly. But for all you know, Kelly gets fired and then Mattis comes in. Or, I mean, it's, you know, there's nothing you can predict, because
we found out this week too that Mattis is feeling somewhat even, you know, is being stretched. There was the whole reporting about Trump coming into a meeting with the generals about Afghanistan, complaining that we don't have access to Afghani minerals. He wants Afghani minerals.
We need to steal stuff. Like, we're going to take the oil from Iraq.
It's been 6 months. Why aren't you guys done? Why haven't you mopped this up? I mean,
why are we profiting from our wars, for Christ's sake?
Then basically saying, like, maybe I shouldn't listen to you generals. Maybe I should just listen to the privates I met, because of some story about the 21 Club shutting down and him saying that waiters knew more about what's going on there than the kitchen staff. Now, that may be the case. I don't know. But I also think it's like one of those sort of myths that he tells himself, and that they're, you know, they're spreading, like, he's right. That's part of his common man question. Connection.
Related to all this stuff, what do you think's happening at this point with Bannon? Right? I mean, there are a number of articles about him being in the outhouse way back when. And again, I read that with the skepticism I read all this stuff with. True, or somebody's agenda or whatever, but he's still there.
He's still there. Around. And if there's been ever been a week that reflects his sensibility more than this one, I don't know what week it is.
Exactly.
I really don't.
That's what I was thinking, too. If you think about immigration, affirmative action, anti-trans,
yep.
You know, this kind of stuff. I mean,
attack the media.
They seem very Bannon-esque. Yep.
Well,
so who knows? What a shit show.
Yeah.
Pardon my French, folks.
Yeah. Well, speaking of French, we're going to have Anthony Scaramucci audio a little bit later in the program. So we're going to be talking a lot of French.
Ooh. A lot of French. It's an interesting form of French. A nice Goodfellas kind of French.
Well, Cliffy, thank you so much for your time today. We will do this again next week. We barely scratched the surface.
Sam, and I'm sorry, folks. I feel like I'm failing people, because figuring out what is going on in this gigantic cluster with all these people floating around, and when you're dealing with somebody who literally changes what they think about an important issue moment to moment and acts as impulsively as this person, knowing exactly if there's any plan behind anything, what's going on, it's impossible.
Yeah, it really is.
It's incredible.
All right, buddy.
I mean, you know, whatever my feelings on George W. Bush, I knew what he wanted to do. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a combination of with this administration, there's the chaos factor, the sheer performative factor, right? Like, I mean, they came out and talked about that immigration bill that that was offered by Cotton and Perdue, and it was offered in April. And they made the announcement as if it was a new bill, because they just
right.
needed to. So, I mean, just so nakedly performative. And then there's all the palace intrigue there. I mean, there's just so many different. And then there's the, you know, legitimate, like, holy crap. Do we really want Donald Trump to be in charge of what happens with our relationship with North Korea? I mean, it's relentless. It really
is exhausting. I may need to start doing drugs. Not that I'm endorsing that kind of thing.
Well, you can endorse it. I don't mind.
Depends which ones. Not the ones I'm thinking about. All right.
Well, there it is.
Always a pleasure.
Cliff Schechter, Breaking Bad.
Take it easy.
All right, folks. We'll talk to you later. Take it easy, Cliff.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go, folks. Cliff Schechter heading out into his garage to God knows what concoct. What would Michael? What do you think Cliff would call his like meth concoction?
He wanted to know what Cliff would call his meth concoction.
I have to think on that. What would Cliff call?
I feel like he was more talking about he was going to do heroin. So
yeah, I think Cliff needs more downers.
He doesn't want to be like more hyped up about this. He just wants to just fall asleep.
Such a pearl clutching liberal. Get out on the streets, Cliff.
On the streets.
Cliff should train and join Antifa. Stop feeling like such a victim to history and become an agent of history.
It's
exactly.
It's my understanding that we have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really tasteful.
Even your patience might be tested by this Jimmy Reefer Cake song.
Really? You're really testing some patience. All right, well, let's.
Sam's super high tolerance.
Oh, he doesn't in general have high tolerance, but for Jimmy, he does for some reason.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, I have high tolerance.
I have high tolerance.
Saying you have you're an extremely patient man?
No, that wasn't what it said. Someone tweeted at me the other day, and I argued for hours. And then all of a sudden with Jimmy.
I'm not sure if I would. Maybe you are patient. Yes, you are.
All right. You know, this will probably change everybody's opinion about Seth Rich. Okay? Let's go.
All right. Oh, boy. All right. And Matt, I've just sent you another fun half audio, but go ahead.
Okay. We'll need a palate cleanser.
Okay.
Seth Rich. Click, click, Russia. Seth Rich. Click, click, Russia.
Russia is better. I colluded with Trump to beat Hillary.
Rich.
Seth Rich is better. I was a DNC leaker and I was mysteriously murdered.
Oh, really, fool?
Really?
Seth Rich.
Stop looking at me, chicken.
Kim.com.
Seymour
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 Kim.com.
Wow.
Okay.
The beginnings from Billy Madison.
To be fair, I enjoyed that more than Adam Sandler's music. So
right.
That's true. I don't know how to. I don't know how to react to that. That was also a little abstract.
That was very abstract. The other day, I tweeted something about Dumb Dumb Left. I don't remember what it was. And Joseph Ballin and Jimmy got at me, and they said that I was delusional and that the Dumb Dumb Left was a figment of my imagination. And I said, wait, you guys are a figment of my imagination? I need to go check up on myself.
And then the weird part was, I wasn't on Twitter.
Yeah, I wasn't. And I realized that it was a simulacra. I was in a Christopher Nolan movie.
I wasn't even holding my phone. I was just sitting at a table at a restaurant talking to myself.
Yeah,
in the
this would be like a Christopher Nolan like meets some type of like a Jew comedy.
Or it could
film.
Be one of those. What was that? What was that show? It hasn't been on for so long. The Mr. Robot. It could have been one of the.
It's coming back in October.
It's coming back in October.
Narcos.
It'd be one of those situations where it's you, Michael. You are Jimmy Reefercake.
I am Jimmy. Well,
that would
ultimately,
actually, if it turned out that you were in fact Jimmy Reefercake, like it was just a split personality?
I
thing.
Would
That's
demand
why.
A
in
raise.
In the office, you have no technical skills.
I would demand
but then
a raise.
At home, you're on sound. You're on some type of audio program, laying down multi-track recordings of yourself as Jimmy Reefercake.
I would demand a raise.
Well, I mean,
for additional work.
There you go. Matt, do you have that latest fun half bumper?
Yeah, but do we want to play it now, or do you want to do Film Guy Matthew first?
Oh, yeah. Good point. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Film Guy Matthew. Matthew Film Guy.
Hello, Sam.
Matthew, are you actually getting a some type of like public service alert on your phone?
How so?
Oh, I thought I heard that. I thought I heard one. I thought I heard like a flood flash warning on that you get on those.
I got that. I was woken up by that this morning, actually. But no, not now.
All right. And So, Matthew, thank you for joining us. I see you've been very busy on IMDb these days.
Yeah, well, it's come to my attention that there is no single place for people to refer to see all the films that I've recommended you over the last, I don't know, about 4 years. So I took it upon myself to go through everything and put together what I could to compile that list. So people want to go to IMDb or go to my Twitter, you can see me on there. It's like the Film Guy Matthew Sam Cedar Majority Report list. And to be honest, I was shocked. There's 73 films that I've recommended you.
What?
Since we first started doing this.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
How did you wait a second? How did you compile 73 films? Did you go back and listen to all of them? I mean, to all the
podcasts? I didn't have to listen to all of them, but I did. There were some gaps. Like, I've kept a kind of a list myself. But then there were some gaps, so I did kind of spot check some old appearances just to see what we recommended. So I could have actually missed a few since it wasn't a totally thorough job, maybe, but I feel like 74 is a pretty good list for people to kind of sink their teeth into.
That's
plus,
crazy.
I'm sure you've seen about four of them, maybe, or five.
I maybe have seen probably two. So I'm just trying to do I think I've probably watched, I would say probably 15.
15 is about fair, because some of them I might have recommended you already saw.
Yeah.
And then two of them were the Elite Squad films. I know you saw those.
I watched
already.
Those.
There's two. Yeah. Those are the biggest hits, I think, of anyone that I recommended you for you, Sam.
I watched those multiple times, I think.
Okay, well, that explains a lot.
And then what else? What else? There was a couple others I watched, too. I mean, I guess
it's everything from Nobody's Business, one of my favorite documentaries, Four Lions. I think that was a big hit with you, mm-hmm. about the comedy about the jihadis.
Yep. I remember that.
You know, I see certain patterns emerge. Like, I've probably recommended every Dardenne Brothers movie, practically. A bunch of Mike Lee movies. Let's see, what else? Elaine May, I think I probably recommended every Elaine May movie. A New Leaf, Mikey and Nikki, Ishtar. Several Iranian movies, like 10 by Kiarostami, and A Separation by Farhadi, which I love a lot. Pretty much every film that I've had anything to do with.
Right, of course. I mean, I've watched watched every single one of those teacher lounge shows.
That's not listed on here since those are, comedy shorts. But yes, I appreciate that. The Teacher's Lounge web series by Ted Alexandro, mm-hmm. with multiple comedians you'll recognize. Several Harmony Korine films. This is a good one. Ice by Robert Kramer. We really need to keep watching that one like every year, about the underground guerrilla groups and how they splinter apart from inside, made in the 60s.
Right.
Rules of the Game. Rules of the Game and Grand Illusion by Renoir, two, iconic classics. Just a lot. Portrait of Jason, Shirley Clarke, one of my favorite documentaries. occasionally now, the more share kind this of recent with
your,
stuff.
Are you going to share this with your Learning Annex class? We're going to, incidentally, I should tell people, we're going to put this in the, we'll put the link into the podcast description and on the site. And when we get our website redesigned, which we are still in the midst of, we will have a link there, an ongoing link. I mean, you really should do the same thing for Isabel. I don't think she would be able to. She was going to join us today, but she was out of touch. But and I don't think she has the.
You know, I'm always here for you. When Isabel drops the ball, I'm there to pick it up.
Oh yeah, she totally dropped the ball.
I'm not as cozy, but you know, hey, you can't have everything.
No, you're not as cozy.
You aren't cozy. Like, you're a slob. You're cozy. In
Being
your own,
slob is how I am cozy.
You're cozy in your own filth. And I miscalled it because Sam didn't care about the Seth Rich song, but he got all worked up about the fade. Hello.
Hello. Hello. I'm never more cozy as than when I got Cheetos on my chest, you know, all that kind of stuff.
He's got Cheetos on his chest, and Sam's upstate all angry with balloons around him and drunk.
Mr. Rosenberg.
Yeah, I don't even know who he is doing now. He's doing my voice to talk about me.
Yes, because you pollute everything with your jewelry.
That's what somebody asked me last night why I got blocked by Seb Gorka. And I said, I think it's because I was on that Samantha Bee used a clip of me mocking him, or because I'm Jewish. I was not sure.
Yeah, it's really either or.
All of the above.
Or it could be both. It could, guess what, double shot. So, Matthew, are you going to send your Learning Annex people to your IMDb list? I mean, this is an
asset. Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking of making a second list of all the ones that I actually showed to the Learning Annex class. There is a lot of crossover because, I have something prepared to talk about, so it's just at a total convenience. I use
theirs
for your
show.
Ooh,
the truth comes out. You've been sort of like double dipping on this stuff.
Yeah, well, that's just like free. You know how those people have to pay like $40 to $50 per class. So that's like a free, you know, that value for your listeners.
I wonder who's going to be more upset, our listeners or those people in the Learning Annex?
I think everybody is equally happy, Sam. I bring joy and the love of cinema to all. So there's no losers here.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Matthew. And everything else is going on. Do you have any other news to report? Any other projects that you're working on that you need to tell us about? Or do we have to go directly to the eBay sales?
What? Gosh, Sam, you make it sound like that's like the default fallback when really that's what everyone's waiting to hear about. But let's just put a pin in that for a second. Okay. I actually do have something funny that I came across
in
my research.
Are you selling a pin on
old...
eBay?
Huh?
Sorry, go ahead.
Damn it, Sam, you are so on top of me. You know all of my tricks. Yes, I am. No, I'm not selling any pins. But that gives me a good idea. I will make a pin.
It's a brooch.
I'm sorry. But Sam, I actually found a voicemail of you chewing me out somewhere around. I'm going through all the old things that I've saved. So I've saved voicemails, phone calls, things that I've recorded, all the kind of ephemera of a life.
Hold on. Wait, I want to hear it. Do you have it?
Yeah, well, let me see if I can pull it up here.
I was high with Benjamin, and then I found out that you didn't do that, and I got all upset.
Matthew Film Guy, let me say this. Matthew, and I don't know what it was. How was I watching pilot season? I was cleaning up, some videos on a computer, I think, in the office. And I ended up watching the episode or the scene in pilot season where you come in as my assistant. In pilot season, which was the second time you had played my assistant. The first time you played my assistant, you were hired to play my assistant because in a bad situation, it's because you were hired to be my assistant as director, and I didn't want you to be far away from me, so I had you play my assistant in the movie so that you were always
Where's my boy? Where is my boy? Boy, where are you?
And by, I think, like, it was only a 14-day shoot. And by, like, day eight, you were spending more time trying to, like, make time with some of the people on the crew, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Well, I was promised an education into the world of filmmaking, and, you know.
Well, you're supposed to show up to class.
All right, well, listen, this is, you'll get a kick out of this. This is me handling you. Michael, you'll enjoy this too. Probably everyone on staff there.
Everyone,
this is me handling you. When you were upset,
I feel like this is fun half material.
I was
not
very upset by that.
Okay.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'll call back in the fun half if you want. No, but anyway, I'll surmise that you're like, dude, this is a fuck up. This is a
How long is it?
Us sharing a lens. Remember we had that anamorphic lens that we both like went in on so we could share it? It's old technology, so you could make like 16:9 images on a DV camera.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yeah.
So wait, here, let me see if I can hold on.
How long is it?
Let's see.
What the fuck, dude? When's it coming back?
It should be back in the next 2 days. But I don't know, so if you need to count on it, I wouldn't count on it.
Dude, this is a fuck up.
Yeah, all right. So we'll fix it.
That's it?
There's way more. You want to hear more?
Yeah, keep playing. He sounds like a yeast infection. I love it.
Anyway, well, I mean, that's the thing, is that, like, I was going to do it on the fly with Joe. And now don't really have that flexibility.
Right. Well, I needed to fix my camera, and the only way that they could do it was to see the lens with it, so I really had no choice.
Did you need to fix it with the lens now, though?
What's that?
Did you need to fix it with the lens now?
Yeah, because I'm shooting something, and if I want to shoot it and have it work, I'll need to fix it.
When are you shooting this thing?
I wanted to shoot something on Sunday. But I am, you know, I'm a slave to whatever they fix it too.
You also sound really annoying.
You know, it's really annoying because...
No, that's exactly what I just said.
You're buying this right now so that I can do pickups without having to, you know, get to do it on the fly.
Yeah, I hear
and
you.
Not rent. I mean...
I hear you. Believe me, I wish I didn't have to fix the camera. I wish it worked right away.
There's more like that, but I just love how
I gotta say, I actually come off as much calmer than I thought I would. And you're sitting there,
listening to both of you. Jesus.
You're just sitting there like, well, that's the way it is. Like, you're coming off. I gotta say, Matthew, you're coming off like
a
real jerk.
Learning how to handle you, so this... Like
you're coming off
handle.
Like a real jerk. Like,
no, but that is, to be fair, that is how
I broke
you need
it
to handle Sam, though. That is true.
I broke it, and I'm also suffering, too, from the fact that I broke it. Even though you paid for it.
I took the lens away to fix with my camera, and you're like, I need that lens, goddammit.
You know what? I didn't sound like that.
You know what Sam's trying to do? Sam's trying to do a Jew Kennedy impression. That sounds like a Kennedy tape where he's like, that was a fuck up, wasn't it?
You know what?
It was a real fuck up. Oh,
no.
We got it ready.
I'll tell you what that was.
We got it ready.
During a bad situationist, I had a heavy accent like that.
We got it. You want to hear it?
And I still had it.
You want to hear it?
Hear what?
We got it ready.
Sure.
Matt and I's brains work in the same way.
What do you mean?
General, yes, sir. That Air Force has caused itself more grief with that silly bastard. Did you see the post this morning?
Yes, sir. I'm looking.
See that fella's picture by the bed?
Yes, sir.
And you see that furniture they bought from Jordan Marsh? What the hell did they let the reporters in there for? Are they crazy up there? Now you know what's going to do. Any congressman's going to get up and say, Christ, if they can throw $5,000 away on this, let's cut them another $1 billion. You just sank the Air Force budget. You're crazy up there. Are they crazy? That silly bastard with his picture next to the bed?
I'll take that.
I'm appalled, but I want to find out who paid for that furniture because I want it to go back to Jordan Marsh.
Who is he talking to?
An Air Force general. I'll look up exactly who it is in a second.
But I do, but I will. I have to say it.
We have to get to the fuck up.
Okay, get to the fuck up. Keep going. Sorry.
Well, it's also going to suck if you have to pay $300 to rent that lens that you just paid $400 to buy.
Matt was just playing the actual one.
Sorry, back to Kennedy.
Wait, we're going back to Kennedy.
Then I want that fellow
that's
to confident
that
me
that I have to cough up the cash for the fuck up.
I mean, he's a silly bastard. I wouldn't have him running a cat house. Christ, they're not all incompetent. Is that the way they're throwing money around over there? You better look into it, and especially when you told me that they hadn't spent a cent.
Well, sir, this is obviously...
Well, this is obviously a fuck up.
right.
So good.
I don't know. Are people surprised
so that
when
was the last time
of Kennedy?
A president spoke to the military like that?
Yeah, we need a president that can talk to the military like that.
But Matthew did handle you the way you need to be handled when you're having any sort of tantrum, which is just like, okay,
I'm sorry. There is no one who listened to that. Maybe there's more. But I was not having a tantrum. I was like, oh, dude, this is a fuck up.
Oh,
that's not a tantrum.
You were just taking some Xanax and listening to Kennedy.
On a tantrum, you just stomp on, like, cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
I will kick stuff.
When you physically.
God damn it, it's not working.
I mean, I probably was, but I don't know how I was maintaining my voice on the phone. All right, is there any other part of it, Matthew? Do I get angrier?
Dude, just fuck up.
Yeah, my next favorite part is when you're like, well, you're not gonna like it when you got to pay $300 to rent a lens that you spent $400 to buy.
That I'm not going to.
No, I am. You were telling me. Wait, here.
And now don't really have that flexibility.
Right.
Yeah, this is really annoying because this was the whole point of me buying this right now so that I could do pickups. So that, well, it's also going to suck if you have to pay $300 to rent that lens that you just paid $400 to buy.
Silly bastard.
$300?
Well, I mean, if we rent it for 2 days.
Wasn't it $50 a day the last time?
It was
$150. I don't know about that. I thought that was for 3 days.
Well, maybe it was for 3 days. Oh, either way.
Yeah, either way it sucks. But, you know, whatever.
Can you get them to?
Yeah. Okay. Hold on, Matthew. Wait a second. I just said. Hold on. All right. No.
That's the highlight.
I said it's going to suck for me.
Isn't it?
It's
going
to suck for me to pay $300 to buy rent a lens that I just paid $400 to buy.
Yeah. Are you getting mad again about this?
Yes, I am. I totally forgot about this, and I don't even remember the specifics of it. But Jesus. You got to get your shit together, buddy.
I think it worked out. I don't think it impeded the success of the film in any way.
Well, when was that from? What month in, was
I
it?
Think
it must
it was
have been
around
in August.
2005, I think, when you were revisiting the film.
No. Joe was off the film.
Oh, so maybe 2002 or 3?
No.
Maybe 2.
Probably
2002.
The summer.
I'm still trying to played some of the times on some of these.
I think it was the
summer.
Yeah,
maybe you're right.
2001. I think it was the
summer.
Well,
it wouldn't have been. I think it probably got revisited in the spring of 2002. So it's somewhere in that area. But the two of us have grown by leaps and bounds, both professionally and emotionally, in that time, haven't we, Sam?
Well, I mean, now I know not to split a lens with you, if that's what you mean. Because I'll get screwed.
Last time we went in on any assets.
I mean, I've grown in that way.
Parentheses.
All right. Michael's spending too much time in the era of Trump. It's all just
all white nationalist jokes.
All
that's right.
So, Matthew, what is the film recommendation for this week?
So this week I want to talk about a Turkish film that I've been meaning to show to my class for a long time because I have gotten way into the Turkish director Nuri Bilge Ceylan, which I probably have been butchering his name this whole time because maybe Michael can help me out with the Turkish pronunciations on these names. But Ceylan, I believe it's pronounced Ceylan. And he's made some amazing movies over the last couple years. What's that?
That's close.
Michael's pretending he thinks it's relatively close.
I'm pretending I think it's relatively close.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm pretending to be grateful for that interruption. this movie is called Clouds of May, and it's from 1999. Now, Ceylan made some of the last few big hits at Cannes Film Festival, Winter Sleep, and I think I actually recommended his film Once Upon a Time in Anatolia.
You did.
But
I gotta check your eye. I gotta check my IMDb,
which I think is really owes a lot. What's that?
I gotta check my IMDb bookmark. But yes, okay.
Yeah, go to that link. It might be in there. His early films were highly influenced by Abbas Kiarostami and the kind of Iranian mode of neorealism meets kind of documentary, kind of you don't know what's real and what's based on fiction. And his first film was called The Town, and it was about life in this small kind of rural town in Turkey. And his second film, which is this one, Clouds of May, it takes a kind of pseudo kind of documentary look, even though it's not a documentary style, but it's kind of about him making that first movie. So it's about a filmmaker who comes from the big city of Istanbul, and he seems like a big muckety-muck to the people who live in the small town, and he's there to kind of make the film that he wants to make. And it's sort of that mix of he's trying to be honest about his experience, but he's also kind of exploiting his family and his friends. And it's got a lot of echoes of Chekhov's final play, The Cherry Orchard, because his father plays this character who's obsessed with the local town wanting to chop down this grove of trees that he owns. And meanwhile, his connection to the land is being threatened. His son just wants to kind of make this, it's like almost like in quotes, this realistic film. And it's got a lot of things to say about humanity's connection to the land and kind of our distancing from the earth through our industrialized society. But it also features this child who is told by his mother that if you can keep this egg in your pocket for 30 days without breaking, I will buy you this fancy watch that you want. And you kind of watch this kid go through this real loss of innocence. It's kind of funny and sad at the same time as he finds out, like, he can lie about the egg and he has to kind of do what the adults say, but he's like learning to manipulate them. It's chilling and it's hilarious. And it's got some of the most gorgeous photography that you'll see on a very kind of shoestring budget. So there's lots more I could say about this, but I know my time is limited. So I will wrap it up by saying, go see Clouds of May by Nuri Bilge Ceylan. I do believe it's on a Criterion disc. I'm not exactly sure where you can stream it, it is worth seeking out.
I've just heard, and Matthew, you're going to be very excited about this. I've just heard that in New York City, you can go with a library card. I think you might be able to stream it on your computer now.
Yes, I just heard that yesterday. That's exciting that if you have a current library in Brooklyn and New York City library card, you can stream a ton of movies.
A ton of movies. The entire Criterion collection.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yes, it's amazing. We live in the future, folks. Maybe we've made it. We are in the future. We can do that for free. I love it. Now you don't have to go to the library. I mean, when I first got into being like a film geek and would go and consume lots of movies, I would rent 3-4 VHS tapes from the local libraries every city I lived in. It's an amazing resource, and I'm glad that it's being updated to bring people what they need to see without having to actually leave their house.
Matthew.
That's pretty crazy. Let me just ask what. So why this movie now? Just happens that you've come across it, or is there something?
It actually has a lot of echoes. Just kind of, I try to recommend movies that are not necessarily singularly topical. Sometimes I go that way, but I've just been in love with this filmmaker, so I'm trying to kind of be a completist and go through all of his movies. And this one,
so it's nepotism.
Really blew me away.
It's nepotism. It's nepotism.
What is what nepotism?
It's nepotism. You're in love with the filmmaker. You're pushing his work.
I guess. Wouldn't nepotism imply that I was related to him somehow? But I mean, but
I don't know.
This is just a guy that I'm here to say doesn't get a lot of mainstream press. He's kind of known in the cinephile realm, and people need to check out his work.
Michael?
I rewatched this relatively recently, and can I ask your thoughts briefly and maybe make this a secondary recommendation? Raise the Red Lantern. Thoughts?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
You're coming in with your own movie?
That's a great movie. What?
I want to get Matthew's thoughts on it, because if he thought it was bad, we could discount it completely.
Well, you know, that's very nice of you to say.
See?
But,
silly bastard.
You know, I saw that movie years and years ago when Zhang Yimou was still making kind of prestige art movies and not the kind of action kung fu types that he's
but all,
later
and also
become,
challenging the Chinese government, because he went from a guy whose movies would get banned, but then get like the, and now yep. like he makes these martial arts movies that are like, that are still actually awesome to watch, but basically like allegories for why you should support the Chinese state.
Right, yeah. I mean, Red Sorghum, Judao, Razor and Lantern, To Live, these were all movies that I really was impressed by back in the day that they came out, you know, back when, you know, you would just see, there was like the indie film theater that would show like two movies every month, and one of them was one of those, or you know, one of the Three Colors trilogy. So I can't say that I've delved deeply into his works, but Razor Red Lantern was definitely one that struck me at the time. So yeah, recommended. I believe Razor Red Lantern, that is a metaphor for going to war, right? Isn't that kind of the symbol for war?
No, it's a gender. Gender, that's the sort of, I mean, the contrast, the Raise the Red Lantern is which house of which wife, and master is literally what he's called, like the husband visits at night, and the like internal politics between the wives in this incredibly misogynist situation. And it's like, it's just interesting because it's super beautiful, but like in a sick way.
Yes.
It's like a rotted fruit or something. I don't know. That's a really striking movie. I don't know why. What I rewatched
I like
it recently.
Yeah. I like it. The rotted fruit, the oversweet, overripened
yes.
fruit.
That's
nice imagery, yeah. Michael. Very yeah. nice.
Yes. Speaking of
film guide, Michael.
All right, guys. So
squeeze the juice out of the segment even further.
What do you know about film, you Philistine?
Matthew, so the name of the film is, one more time?
Clouds of May. And I'll just give you a tip. It's kind of like the main character says that I hate the month of May. The father character says, I hate the month of May because it always means something bad is going to happen, which is weird because usually you think May is spring and renewal. So it's a very kind of complex
imagery
there.
So it's like
the
Ides of March.
Yeah, very good, Sam.
There
very
go.
Good.
Film guy Matthew, it is always. Wait.
Not
wait.
A good
All
movie.
All right, go ahead. Plug one eBay.
Oh well, for instance, I just want everyone to go on to this is an eBay victory past, but I want you to go onto my Twitter and see that finally that amazing great themes of movie scores past was bought and has been given a very nice home by a particular listener whose name I will keep private for now.
Oh,
but you
best.
Can see it on display proudly in front of his, I believe, his taxidermy stuffed cat. I'm not sure if it's a real cat or not. I don't
oh,
want to know.
That's the picture.
But you can go
yeah,
and see how that
disturbing.
Has found a nice home. And just keep your eyes on my eBay link, and eventually maybe something like that could be in your house.
That
in front
sounds
of your cat.
Like a really weird home.
Can I make a prediction? Sam's not going to watch this one.
Did you see
one.
It? Yeah.
That probably not.
No, you're not going to see
short term.
I think Sam, no, I've given up on actually
I'm
hoping
glad,
Sam will watch them.
I'm glad no. actually that we have all these on IMDb because I'm just saving up.
I think you'll watch Punishment Park if you haven't yet. That I think you'd watch.
Well, Film Guy Matthew, thank you so much for your time today. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure for me, Sam. Take care now.
Bye.
It was a
all
fuck
right,
up, folks. Wasn't it?
All right. It's listen. That was no Scaramucci tape. Let's put it that.
No,
way.
That really. You know, that's the other problem. Is it's that Scott? He's really set every meltdown into perspective.
I mean,
I'm not Benjamin.
Well,
I'm not trying to suck
to
my own cock.
Let's listen to that Scaramucci tape. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break and head into the fun half.
Do we want to use the fun wow as the bridge? It's 50 seconds, so. It's the new
it's
jingle.
It's 50 seconds.
Yeah.
So all right. Yeah. Let's give it a try.
Go fun app like that?
Sure. Oh, and I should just remind you folks that it's your support that makes this show possible. By becoming a member, you support the free show. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you extra content. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com. And folks, if you can't afford it, send us an email. Give us a little bit of time, but we will hook you up if you want the fun half. We don't want anyone locked out for financial reasons. So join themajorityreport.com. or send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. And if you buy your crap from Amazon or jet.com, please do so through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. You will notice no difference, but we get a little kickback. That's why we call it majorityreportkickback.com. And now, a substitute bridge to the fun half. Who sent us this?
He's looking it up.
I don't want to give away anything. Chris.
Chris? All right. Yeah. Listener Chris. And it's 50 seconds long. I mean, have you listened to it? I mean, are we going to?
I have not. This might be a surprise.
All right. Well, we may go the entire thing. 50 seconds is a pretty long bridge. Could be a bridge too far, if you know what I mean. But let's hear it.
Okay, folks. Going to head into the fun half. Fun half.
Fun half.
Yeah.